Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kisubos, Daf Mem Hei. We're going to begin about five lines from the top of Mem Hei Amud Aleph, but first we'll chazer over what we learned at the end of yesterday's shir. So in yesterday's shir, we brought down a brisa that Shiloh had taught us. And Shiloh had said that there are three situations or scenarios where a woman who is a Nara Murasa, that Rachmana Litzlan sinned and committed adultery during that period of time, so under certain situations she'll get Skila, and under certain situations she'll get Chenek. And in the third situation that he brought down is the one that we're going to look at and focus on now. And you can actually pick this up four lines from the top of Mem Hei Omer Aleph, where the woman Nebuch was Sarcha, the Nara Murasa, the girl who's between the age of 12 and 12 years and 6 months old, had gotten the first stage of marriage. She was in Arusa, and Nebuch, she willingly committed adultery with somebody during that period of time. That's what it means, Sarcha. But she wasn't brought to trial, and she wasn't married. She didn't have the second stage of marriage. She remained in Arusa, and then she became a Bogeris. She became older than 12 years and 6 months. And in this situation, now witnesses come along. She's not a Nesua. She's still in Arusa, but she's no longer a Nara. She's now a Bogeris. So in this situation where she was Sarcha, she committed the Aveira while she was a Nara, Ulubasov Bagra, but she became a Bogeris in this situation, albeit not a Nesua. In this situation, Tidon Bechenek. Then the Braisa that Shila taught, in this situation, she doesn't get Skila, but she gets the regular punishment for adultery of Chenek. Now, that was what we had learned, and that's where we're up to from yesterday's shir, and now we begin Lememra, five lines on the top, Mem Hei Omer Aleph. Lememra, the Kol Hecha, the Ishtani Gufa, Ishtani Ktola. We see from what this Braisa that Shila had taught, that in fact, if her body changes, we had talked previously about some physical changes in the girl's body when she goes from being a Nara to being a Bogeris. And in this situation, since her body has changed, Shila's opinion in this Braisa is clearly that the punishment will change. She's no longer a Nara Hamuras, which is a special din of Skila, if she, Rachmana Lislan, willingly commits adultery. But now she goes to the regular case of being a married woman who commits adultery, where the punishment is a lower punishment, a punishment of Chenek. Both of them are death. But the Misa's, Arbi Misa's based in, so then Skila is the highest form, the way we paskin, and Chenek is a much lower form. Now, this opinion is going to be challenged now from the following Braisa, or Mini, but we learned that another Braisa, where it seems to say that the Nara Murasa, when she becomes a Bogeris, is in fact going to get Skila still. This Braisa says, Nara Hamurasa she's in. So again, the woman was in Nara, who was in Arusa, and she sinned during this period of time when she was in Nara. Umisha Bagra, here it tells us that she became a Bogeris again, but now she also was in a Sua. Umisha Bagra, she gets married to her husband, the second stage of marriage, and Hotzi Olel Shem Ra. And he states, I didn't find her to be a Besula, and if he brings witnesses, then she will in fact be punished with Misa. If he is the one who lied, and he brought false witnesses, so then under normal circumstances, he would have to get Malkus, and he would get to pay the 100 Sela, 100 Shkolim fine. So that's the scenario that we're now dealing with. Her husband accuses her after she's in a suah and after she reaches the age of Bagris that she wasn't a Basula. So in this situation, who ain't no loke, they no sein mea selav. He, in fact, had falsely brought forth these witnesses and made a false claim that she wasn't a Basula. If this was a regular case of Nara Hamurasa that he claims when he marries her, and she's still a Nara, that she in fact wasn't a Basula, so then it'd be the din of Motzi Shemra, where he'd have to get Malkus, and he'd have to pay the 100 Sela, 100 Shekel fine. But if in fact he's telling the truth, he, V'zom Meha, Machadimim Lebesa Skila, then she and the false witnesses both get Skila. And Mora jumps in and says, what are you talking about? How can she and the false witnesses? Either she gets Skila because they're real witnesses, or the false witnesses get Skila, Kasher Zolim Lassos, like they tried to cause her to have Skila, so then they're given Skila themselves. So this Braisa doesn't make any sense. Mora says, yes, that's not what it meant. First, it has the question, he is so mad, so could you possibly think that she and the false witnesses both get Skila? No, what it means is, if the false witnesses are false witnesses, so then they will get Skila. But if the witnesses aren't false witnesses, then she will get Skila. Ella, O he, O Zomamel, So whoever was the guilty party, if it's the false witnesses, then she, of course, is perfectly not guilty, and the false witnesses will get the skila. But if, in fact, they aren't false witnesses, they're true witnesses, then she will get skila. Now, what this Brisa is telling us is that even though she's a bogeres, so she doesn't get chenek, she gets skila. But the brisa that Sheila had brought down says that she gets chenek. So there's a stira between these two brises. That's the Gemara's question. We don't want to have two different brises with different opinions unless we have to, and say that they're two different Tanoic opinions. But here, right now, can we reconcile these two brises and say that they're the same opinion? And the Gemara says, yes, Rava is going to try to reconcile the two brises and not have them be two different opinions. Amar Rava, Rava says, you can't bring me a raya from the case of Motzi Shemra to the regular case of Na'am Murasa that didn't have Nisuin. Once the girl undergoes Nisuin, that's different, Rava says. Motzi Shemra, Kamris, you're trying to bring me a raya from Motzi Shemra to say, how come in the case of Motzi Shemra, she still gets Skila, whereas in the case where it just was a Na'am Murasa that was Bogaris now, but wasn't yet married as a Nisua, she gets chenek. That's not a stira. He says, Motzi Shemra, Ka'amis, you can't bring me right from this second brisa from the case of Motzi Shemra, that's the rule across the board that she gets skila. Because shiny Motzi Shemra, the case is different with Motzi Shemra because the chiddishu, the case of Motzi Shemra is a chiddish. What is the chiddish? Rashi explains in Dibra Maskel, the chiddishu, below Amrinim, but we don't say about this woman who became a Nesua, Mishum Din Ishtani, in the Bach adds the word Gufa, because her body changed from being a Nesua to a Bogeres, that the Din should change. Because the E Zanoi Hashta, because even if she were to commit Zinus, now, after she's a Nesua, Bas Cheneki, she gets Chenek in this situation. And therefore, Nemo Ishtani, Tola, the Hach de Zanai Benaris, because in this situation, even if she were to commit Znus while she was a Nara, but she was a Nesua, even though she wasn't yet a Ba'ula, she didn't consummate the marriage, albeit they had the second stage of Nisuin, she already goes out from being under the din of Skila and goes into the regular din of Chenek for adultery. And that's what the Gemara tells us. Shiny Motzi Shemra de Chiddishu, de Ha Nichnasu L'Chuppah, if she were to go and have the second stage of marriage, become a Nesua, even though v'lo nivala bi'alma v'zinsa b'chenek, even though under normal circumstances such a woman who wasn't a nara hamurasa, but she was a nara who was a nesua, albeit not yet be'ula, she would be getting the din of regular adultery chenek. But this case is the chiddush over here that she does get skila still in this situation as a nara hamurasa because she had the relations while she was a nara hamurasa, even though she's now being punished as a bogeres. And that's what the word says, v'ilu motzi shemra b'skila. If this is a case of motzi shemra, so the husband is claiming now that she in fact wasn't a besula, and he brings the witnesses that while she was an arusa, she had committed nebuch, this act of adultery, so then she would get skila. So you go by the status of when she had the relations. So even though under normal circumstances, a Nara who becomes a Nesua, even though she's not a Ba'ula, gets still Chenek, but if the relations over here occurred while she was in Arusa, so then she gets Skila. And that's why this is a Chiddush, and Rava says you can't bring a Sarai from Motzi Shema to the regular case of a child who was a Nara, and then she became a Bulgaris, that she should get, in that situation, Skila. No, in that situation, she would only get Chenek, because there was a Shinoi in her guf, whereas here, by the Motzi Shema, we don't say that there's a Shinoi, because when she goes from a Arusa to an Asua, we don't say that the din changes. So therefore, you can't bring the Uriah for Motzi Shemra. So that's how Rava wants to reconcile the two brises, by saying that the Motzi Shemra case is unique, it's a Chiddush, and therefore can't be used to contradict the other brisa that says that once she becomes a Bogeris, she gets Chenek and not Skila. Gemara doesn't like Rava's answer. Amalei Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua Rava. Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua says to Rava, that's not correct. He says, maybe Dilma Ki Chodis Rachmana, when we have this Chiddush over here from the Torah, Hecha de lo ishtani gufa, that's only in the case where her guf didn't change. You can't say when she goes from a arusa to an asua that her guf changed. It's a change in her status, but it's not a change in her guf. Maybe, however, alo hecha de ishtani gufa, even by the case of a motzi shemra, if she becomes a bogeres, maybe lo chodesh rachmona. In that situation, we would say, avol hecho dishtani gufo lo chodesh rachmona, that the Torah doesn't say that this is a chiddush in this situation, And in fact, she should still get skila. And that's what the Braisa tells us, that she gets skila. And therefore, you can't say that you can reconcile this with Sheila's Braisa, where it says that she gets chenek. So we do have still a problem. According to Rabbi Yeshua, Rava's teretz isn't a good teretz. And that the difference between becoming a arusa to an asua is no different than becoming from a woman who was a nara to becoming a bogeris. In both situations, the din should be the same, that it doesn't constitute a change. So how come in the braisa that Sheila brought down, he says it does constitute a change? So there still is a stira, according to Rav Huna Brei Yeshua, and Rava's answer is not a good answer. So how do we reconcile the two braisas? The Alomar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Ishtani Velo Ishtani Tanoi. No, this is a machlokas between the two braisas. Do we or do we not say that the change in the guf is considered, in fact, a shinoi to change the punishment from skila to sreifa? And we see this in a Mishnah in Horios. The Mishnah Horios tells us that Nan, dealing here with the sin offering that a person who's a regular person, not a melech, not a nasi, not a kohen gadol brings, and that is a kivsa or a seira. The regular person who does a sin by accident that would normally be an iser of kares, so in that situation, you have to bring a carbon chatas, and that is a kivsa or sira, a female goat or a female sheep. But what happens if the person becomes a nasi? Then in that situation, he would have to bring a soy. If the nasi sins, he brings a soy. If the kohen gadol sins, so he has to bring a different carbon. He brings a par. So in the situation where the kohen gadol sins, he has to bring a par. In the situation where the nasi or the melech sins, he has to bring a male goat, a soyer, as opposed to the regular kivsa sira that a regular person brings. So this Mishnah in Horios tells us what happens if the person, before he becomes the kohen gadol or the nasi, sins, and then he becomes the kohen gadol or the nasi, but he hasn't yet brought his carbon. So chatu, this person, this plain person, had sinned, had done by accident an isser of kares, he ate chalip unintentionally, and now he'd be chayv to bring a kivsa seira. But then, before he brings the kivsa seira, he becomes the kohen gadol or he becomes the nasi. So chatu achshelo nismanu, v'nismanu. So he did the sin before he was appointed to be the new leadership position, and then he's appointed. So what's the halacha? So the Mishnah in Horios tells us, harei hein ked yotos, the Tanakama of this Mishnah in Horios says that they still are treated as a plain person since they did the sin while they were a plain person, so they still bring a kivsa seira, even though now they're the kohen gadol and now they're the nasi. That's the opinion of the Tanakama. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Omer, im no da lohem achelonis manu, then chayovin. If, in fact, they were appointed, but before they were appointed, they knew that they had done the sin. So, first they did the sin, well, they definitely were a common person. They weren't yet the kohen gadol, they weren't yet the nasi. And then, again, before they were appointed, they found out that they did the sin. Oh, that was chaylev that you ate. So, right now, there would be chayev, a kivsa or a sira, but then they were appointed. So in this situation, Rabbi Shimon says they would have to bring the kivsa or the sira. He agrees with the Tanakama. However, mishinismanu, if in fact they had sinned while they were a plain person, they were then appointed to be the kohen gadol or the nasi, and only then did they find out that they had sinned. Now they find out when they're the kohen gadol or the nasi that they ate chaylev. In this situation, mishinismanu, p'turim. They don't have to bring any carbon. They can't bring the carbon of a kivsa sira because they're not a plain person. But they can't bring the carbon of the nasi, which would be a soyer, or the kohen gadol, which would be a par, because they weren't the nasi and the kohen when they did the sin. So you have somewhat of a paradox over here, according to Rabbi Shimon. In this situation, if they only found out about the sin after they were appointed, but they had sinned before they were appointed, they don't bring any carbon because they can't bring either one. They can't bring the kivsa sira, and they can't bring the soyer or the par, respectively, for the nasi or the kohen gadol, and therefore they can't bring either one. So what Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak now wants to say is that this machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon parallels all machlokas over here between the braisa of Sheila and the second braisa that we brought down. How is that? So Rashi tells us in the last Rashi on the Daf, Peturin, according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, that they would be potur in this situation. He holds that they're poturin ligamre. They don't bring either carbon. What do you see? Alma. The Mishum Dishtani Gufa, that the opinion of Rabbi Shimon is, they changed their guf, going from a plain person to becoming either the Nasi or to become the Kohen Gadol, that's like a shinu in the guf, and therefore ishtani carbon, therefore the carbon changes. So this would go like the Brisa of Shelah, which said that when the woman went from being a Nesua to a Bulgaris, that's a change in the guf, and therefore she now gets Chenek and no longer gets Skila. That would be in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Whereas the second Brisa, which says, no, she still gets Skila, that would hold like the Tanakama, who says, no, it doesn't make any difference. There's no shinoi that occurred in going from the plain person to the Nasi, a plain person to the Kohen Gadol, because the sin was done while they were a plain person. So this change in their status, this shinoi in their guf, is not going to make any difference. That's what Rashi understands is. He compares the shinoi in going from a plain person to the Nasi or to the Kohen Gadol to be the same type of a shinoi that goes from a woman who's a Nara to becoming a Bogeris. Tosus thinks the exact opposite. We'll leave Tosus a Shita for some other time. We'll learn it simple here like Rashi. And with this, we can turn now to Memhei Amud Beis. And Gemara continues and says, Amor, maybe, no. Maybe, the Shamina Leila Rabbi Shimon, the Ozil, Af Bosa Yediya, that which we said, the Rabbi Shimon says, that you follow the time of the Yediya, that's because both the Yediya and the actual sin occurred while he wasn't yet the Kohen Gadol, while he wasn't yet the Nasi. So in that situation, Rabbi Shimon holds that yes, you give him the same punishment, the Kivsa or the Seira, that he would have gotten as a plain person. But we don't see from Rabbi Shimon the Ozil, Bosar Yediyah, the low Ozil, Bosar Chatah, Mishamisle. But where do you see that Rabbi Shimon holds that you go only after the Yediyah and not after the time that the Chet was done? Where do you see that? That you can't learn out from the Mishnah in Horius. Because the Mishnah in Horius, he definitely did the sin while he was a plain person. But, again, read the Gemara one more time. Where do we see that Rabbi Shimon would say, to also bus the idea, that you only follow the idea, but you don't go, v'lo also basa chata, but you don't look at the time of the actual sin being performed, mishamisle, who says he would hold like Sheila's Brisa in that situation? Sheila's Brisa held that the woman committed the sin while she was a Nara Murasa, and the idea only came about when she was a Bogeris. Where do you see, the Gemara asks, that Rabbi Shimon would hold in that situation the same way? If that were true, that you still go by the time of the way the sin was performed, so then you know what Rabbi Shimon should have said? Im Kain, Laisi Korban Kidahashta. He should have to bring a Korban like his new status is now. Just like Sheila in his Brisa said that the woman who's a Bogeris is treated like a Bogeris, and that her penalty for her adultery, even though it was performed while she was a Nara Murasa, is going to be Chenek and not Skila. So if you were to parallel this to Rabbi Shimon, so then he should say that you should bring the Korban Im Kain, Laisi Korban Kidahashta, Moshuach Par, V'nosia, V'nosi Soir. So then in this situation, why are you saying Peturim all together? You should say, well, now, if you're the king, so you're going to bring, if you're the Nasi, you're going to bring a Soir. And if you're the Moshuach, you're the Kohen Gadol, so then you're going to bring a Par. So clearly, Rabbi Shimon is not saying the same as Sheila. Sheila says that you, in fact, bring the Korban of the Bogeris. The parallel for that, Rabbi Shimon would say that you should bring the Korban of the Kohen Moshuach, the Kohen Gadol, a Par, and should bring the Korban for a Nasi, which is a Sar. But he says, no, Peturim in general. So therefore, you can't compare Rabbi Shimon and Sheila. So this is still a problem. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's answer is no good. Rav's answer was no good. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's answer is no good. So we now have the final teretz, which is a very straightforward changing around of the Shita of Sheila. Ha'amalei, Rabbi Yochanan l'Tana. So when this Tana had learned this Brisa from Sheila in front of Rabbi Yochanan, he told him, don't say Teidon b'chenek, like you read it, Elo t'ni Teidon b'skila. You should read it that Sheila's Brisa also says you should get Skila. Ah, therefore, there's no problem now in reconciling Sheila's Brisa with the Brisa that we brought down, which was the problem with the reconciliation, because the Brisa we brought down said that you gave her Skila still. Oh, but now, when you change around the Girsa, in Sheila's Brisa, they say not Tidon B'chenek, but Tidon B'skila. The two are exactly parallel with each other, and no problem. Mer says, why? B'amai, Nara Hamurasa Amarachmana V'ha Bogerisi. So, why is this true? She committed the Avera while she was a Nara Amurasa, but right now she's a Bogeris. So how could she get Skila while she's a Bogeris? So that's simple. Amar Rabbi Loi says, because the Pasuk tells us so. Amakra HaNara. As Rashi explains in Libra Masal Hanara, the pasuk says Votziu es Hanara. It didn't say Velo Kosav Votziuha. It could have easily have left out the word Hanara. It could have said Votziuha and you bring her out. We know we're talking about the Naru Rasa. So when it says the X, the word Votziu es Hanara, that tells us Hanara Shahoisa Kvar. This means that she was a Nara at the time of the Isser, and therefore that is the punishment that we give her now, even though now she is the Bokeres. So we've explained the reconciliation according to the change in the Girsa to say Tidon Beskila instead of Tidon Bechenek, and therefore there's no problem with Sheila's Brisa and the other Brisa that we brought down. They're both saying the same thing. Okay. Mark continues and says, Amalei Rabbi Chananya Rabbi Eloi. Rabbi Chananya says to Rabbi Eloi, who just gave us this answer, if you're darshaning the pasuk correctly, then it could have said Hotziyuha, and it says Hotziya Sanara, and the extra word Hanara is coming to teach us this din, Ihachi, if that's true, so then why don't we also give Malkus Milka Nami Loke, Umeya Sela Nami Lishale? So wait a second, if you're telling us now that the girl's status as a Bogeris doesn't change around her punishment, and she still will get Skila, so then how come if she becomes a Bogeris, we had said that the man doesn't get Malkus, and the man doesn't have to pay the 100 slime? Just like the woman is punished still as a Nara Murasa, so why isn't the husband punished as a Motzi Shemra, even though she's a Bogeris now, even though she's in a Suwa now? But the bottom line is, you go after the time of the sin, so if the woman were to get Skila and not Chenek, so then the man, if he's lying, if he brought false witnesses, should get Malkus and have to pay the 100 Selah, the 100 shekel fine. So that's the question Rabbi Chananya asked Rabbi Eloi, and Amalei, Rabbi Eloi responds back to him and says, Rachman el Itzlan, Mihai Daita, God should spare us from people that have your incorrect understanding over here. Rabbi Chananya says, that's not much of an answer. Adirabba. Rabbi Chananya tells back to Rabbi Eloi, Rachman el Nitzlan, midai tadidach. No, God should save us from people who have your incorrect understanding of the Pasuk. Based upon your reading of the Pasuk, the dinim should be parallel. If the woman gets skila, then the husband should be punished if he brings false witnesses with Malkus and the 100 shekel fine. So why should they be different? So your reasoning is faulty. So each one says the other one's reasoning is faulty. But what's going on? What's the understanding? V'taima mai. Why does Rabbi Eloi in fact say that there's a difference between the girl that she gets skila and the husband who, when she reaches the Bagra state, does not get Malkus and does not get the 100 shekel fine? After all, Rabbi Chananya seems to be right. If you're comparing them, you should compare them across the board. If you're telling me that she gets those skila, so then the husband should in fact get Malkus and pay the 100 sela if he's lying. So Rabbi Chananya is asking a very good question to Rabbi Eloi. So he says, no. V'taima mai. Again, the reasoning is because Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avin or Yitema Rabbi Yitzchak bar Abba, one of these Rabbi Yitzchaks, either the son of Avin or the son of Abba, said, Zu ma'asel garmulo, v'zeakima sefasov garmulo. You look at when they did the Aveira. The girl did the Aveira while she was in Nara Hamurasa. Her ma'isim at that point is what causes her to get punished with Skila, because she was a Nara Murasa, and the Torah gives us a special din in that situation of Skila. What did the Motzi Shemra do? The Motzi Shemra moved his lips, Akimas Fosov. And when did that occur? That occurred when she was already an Isua and a Bogeris. And therefore, the din that the Torah tells us, this unique Chiddush din of Motzi Shemra, that he gets Malkus and pays 100 Selah fine, if in fact he lied and brought false witnesses, that only occurs, that unique Torah fine and penalty that is written, is only if this occurred while she's in Nara. And here, his sin, his Akima Svasav, occurred while she was a Bogeres. And therefore, each of their Maisim determines their penalty. That's what Rabbi Eloi says. Zu Maisel Garmulo, her sin is what gets her Skila now, because when she sinned, because she's Zanai, when she was Nebuch, an adulteress, Nara Zanai, she was adultering as a Nara. But his sin, which was the Motzi Shemra, is Akim Asfasov, his terrible deed of saying falsely that she wasn't the Basula, and he brings false witnesses, his sin occurred when Gormulo, Emas Komachayev, Haishaita. He's only getting the Chiyav of Malkus, at least in theory, and the Meya Sela, only when she is a Bogeris already, at Haishaita. And at Haishaita, Bogeris Havoi, she is already a Bogeris. So therefore, their sins occurred at different points in time, Rabbi Eloi says. Therefore, the only punishment that will be considered like she was a Nara Marusa is the Skila. But the sin of Motzi Shem occurred when she was a Bokeris already, and the Torah didn't give us this unique din of Malkus and a fine of 100 Selah when she's a Bokeris. It's only if she was a Nara. So if the husband falsely accuses her of saying that he didn't find the Besulim while she's a Nara, so then he would have to pay. If he's found to falsely accuse or falsely brought witnesses, he'd have to get Malkus and he'd have to pay the 100 fine and would never be allowed to divorce her. But that's different than if he accuses her when she's a Bokeris. That resolves that problem. Mark continues and says, Tana Rabbanon, we learn the following braisa, Nara Hamurasa Shizinsa. We have Nebuch, this Nara Murasa that was Nebuch committing adultery. So then we said, the din is that she's brought out, Votsiua, the Soklin Osa al Pesach Besavia. We go and bring her back to her father's house, and by the Pesach of her father's house, we go and give her the skill over there. And we brought down, that's because we want to say to the father, look at the girl that you raised. Okay. Ain lo Pesach Beisoav, if there is no Pesach Beisoav, the father isn't a rich guy, he doesn't have his own house, so then, Soklin Osa al Pesach Shar Ha'ir Ha'i, then, since we still give her skila, it's not ma'akev if there's no Pesach Beisavia, so we still give her skila, but then we give her skila by the Shar Ha'ir, the city that she sinned in. As Tosu says in Dibur Masu Soklin, he says, Hainu Ir Shesar Chabo, the city that she committed the Aveira in, that's where she'll get the skila by the Pesach of that city. Okay, Ubeir Shiruba over the Kochavim. But if that city is the majority of Goyim, so then Soklin Osal Pesach Basin. Then we don't do it by the Shari Ir, but we do it by the gateway of the Basin. Similarly, Kayotzi V'Dover Ato Omer. Similarly, we say Hoved Avodas Kochavim. If a person Rachmona Lestan does Avodas Zara, so he also gets Skila for that. So Soklin Osal Al Shar Shavod Bo. We give him Skila by the gates of the city that he worshipped the Avodas Zara in. However, if that city is the majority of Goyim, of Yerushiruba, Ode, Kochavim, then Soklin Osa, Pesach Basin. Then we similarly there give the Skila by the Pesach of the Basin and not by the Pesach of the Shara Ir. Okay. How do we know all this? We just brought down a number of different dinim, comparing both Avodah Zarah and the Nara Murasa as to where they get the Skila. So, Minohani Mili, how do we know that what we just said is in fact correct? What's the source? So the Pasuk says, She'orecha. The Pasuk tells us, in regards to Avodah Zarah, two times the Lashon of Sharecha. First it tells us in Pasuk Beis, Ki Motzei Bikir B'cho B'yachad Sharecha Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosei Loch Ish O Isha Asher Yaseh Sarah B'nei Hashem Elokecha Lavor B'so. It tells us there that if you find somebody within your gates of your city that does Rachmona Litzlan, a man or woman that does Avodah Zarah, then you skip a couple of Pesukim, you go to Pasuk Hey, it says, they're found guilty. He take out the man or the woman that Rachmanu Luslan committed Avodah Zarah. Asher also was a Devor HaRazah. They did the Avodah Zarah. And you take them out. El Sharecha. And Esuish Oesuisha. Uskalton Ba'avonim V'mesu. So we have twice the Lashon of Sharecha in regards to Avodah Zarah. So let's go back to the beginning of the Braisa, the Tana Rabbanan. Sharecha tells us Sharecha Zeh Shar Sha'avodbo. It means the gate of the city that they worship the Avodah Zarah in. So the word questions that. The Braisa questions that. Ato mer shar sha'avodbo, hoeno elo shar shenidobo. Maybe it doesn't mean the city that she worshipped the Avodah Zarah in. He worshipped the Avodah Zarah in. Maybe it means the shar of the city where the Beis Din judged him. So the word says no. It says twice over here. Ne'man sharecha lemata. It says in Pasuk Hei sharecha. That's lemata. That's the later one. Ne'man sharecha lemala. And it says lemala, the earlier one, right, in the Torah, where it's written, the psukim, lemata means the one that's later down, and lemala means the one that's earlier up. So the mala means the earlier pasuk, that's pasuk peis, and lemata means pasuk hei. So it says in both cases, sharecha. So just like ma sharecha omu lemala, just like in the earlier pasuk, it means shar sha'avadbo, in the gates of the city that they did the Avodah Zarah, so too in the later one, in pasuk hei, av sharecha omu lemata, it means the shar sha'avadbo, that's where they get the skila. That's the first raya from this braisa. Alternatively, you could just darshan out sharecha velo share of the kochavim, and it means your gates. But that means if the city is a city filled with the avodas kochavim, so then you don't do it by the city gates; then you do it by the Beis Din's shar. So Gemara questions and says, "Hi sharecha ho afikte," but you can't tell me the second drasha because you already used the sharecha to tell me the first drasha. So Gemara says, "Yes, you can." Imkain, if it didn't want to have both of these drushas, it could have just said the word shar. Why did it say shorecha? Lema kor shar. My shorecha? Shema minotarti. That allows me to teach out both of these dinim, that you make the comparison between Pasuk Beis and Pasuk Hei, that you do it by the shar of the city that he or she did the Avodah Zarah in, that the man or the woman did the Avodah Zarah in. So that usage of the word shorecha to compare it to, that's where they'll get the skila, But that doesn't mean that you can't also tell me that if it's a city that's mostly Avodas Kochavim, so then you do it by the Shire of the Beis Din, because it says Shorecha, which implies two dinim, because otherwise it could have just said Shar, and therefore Shorecha allows me to learn out both dinim Shmami Notarti. So we can learn out the din that it's the Shire of the city that she did the Avodah Zarah in, he did the Avodah Zarah in, and if you don't have that city being a city of Jews, but it's a city of mostly Avodah Kochavim, so then you do it by the Shire of the Beis Din. Morris still questions and says, Ashikon Avodas Kochavim. So that's great. We learn out the Shorecha, Shorecha din, and Tarti Shmamino for Avodas Kochavim. How do we know that this is true by the woman who was Rahmana Luslan, an Aram Urasa, that committed adultery? Where do we see there that you also give her by the city that she committed the adultery in, the Skila, if there's no Pesach Beis or Av, and that you do it by the Shar Beis din, if there is a city that's a majority of Avodas Kochavim? So here the Gemara says we have a complicated multi-pasuk xerushava. Amar Rabbi Yavol, he says, Gomar Pesach mi Pesach. And Rashi points out this is all an asmachta. It's not really a true xerushava, but it's all an asmachta. Asmachta in Dibra Masu Gomar, this is all an asmachta. Asmachta derabonim bi alma. And he says, Siv Hocha, it says over here, El Pesach Beis Aviyah. It says that you should bring out the Na'am Urasa to Pesach Beis Aviyah. And it also says by the Mishkan, Usiv B'Mishkan, Mosach Pesach Shar HeChotzer. Now, what's this drasha? Ma Pesach HaOmer B'Mishkan, the Pesach includes Shar Imo, it's the Pesach, the opening, and the gate. So too, A Pesach HaOmer Kan, it means Shar Imo. It means as well the Shar. And Vahada Gomar, Hai Shar, Mishorecha. And then we can learn out this Shar from the din of Shorecha that we learned out by Avodas Kochavim. So back to the Gemara. Omri Ravoi says, Gomar Pesach mi Pesach. We have the Gzeru Shavah from the Nara Murasa to the Pesach of the Mishkan, and Pesach mi Shar. And therefore, since we said that's Shar Imo, so we can learn that out to the din of Shar from Avodah Zarah. It says Shar by the Mishkan, and it says Shar as well by Avodah Zarah, and then Vishar Mishorecha, then we make that comparison to Avodah Zarah, or the din of Shar and Mishorecha, to teach us both of these dinim, that if the father doesn't have a Beis Av, a Pesach Beis Av, then you do it by the Pesach of the ear, and if there is a city that's mostly Avodah Kochavim, so then you do it by the Pesach of the Shar of the Beis Din. So this complicated series of drushes is how Rabbi Yavol learns it out to teach us the din by Na'am Urasa is parallel to the din by Avodas Kochavim. More continues bringing another braisa. So Tana Rabbanon Hamotzi Shemra Loket V'Nosei Me'aseler. Okay, the pasuk tells us that if the man brings forth false witnesses while his wife is still a Nara, and he claims that I didn't find Basulim, and he has false witnesses to say that she was Mezana, and then it turns out that we find that these false witnesses are false witnesses. So then in this situation, so he's a Motzi Shemra, so he gets Malkis, and he has to pay the 100 seller fine. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Review the Omer, Lilkos lo kemikol malkum. He says that the malkus you get no matter what, that's even if he didn't yet have relations with her, even if he's just falsely accusing her of being a Nara Hamurasa that committed Zinus. So even if he didn't consummate the marriage, he still will get malkus. The Me'asela, however, that's only Baal Nosein, lo Baal Enosein. If he had relations with her, so then he has to pay the additional 100 seller fine. If he didn't have relations with her, she is still a Nara Hamurasa, or even if he had Nisuin, but he didn't have relations with her, so then he doesn't pay the 100 fine, albeit he still gets Malkus, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, what are they arguing about? Tanakhama says that the two go together. The Malkus and the 100 fine go together, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, they can be separated, so komiflegi v'pluksu the Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Rabbanu. This is paralleling the Machlokus that we have between the Rabbi and the Chachamim. What is that? V'achikomar. This is what this Bryce is telling us. It parallels that Machlokus. V'achikomar. Hamotzi shemra lo kevinosi me'asela. Bein Baal, bein shelo Baal. Kirabanan. So this first opinion is going exactly like the opinion of the Chachamim, who hold that it doesn't make any difference whether you had Be'ila or you didn't have Be'ila. If you, in fact, falsely accuse her, so then you pay the 100 fine in addition to getting Malkus. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. He says, Lilkos loka become Malkum. You get the Malkus, I agree, 100% of the time. If you brought these false witnesses forward, so you're going to get Malkus. But the Me'asela, that depends. Baal no sein, lo Baal, ain't no sein. Kir Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. And that goes in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So therefore, this machlokus over here between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda parallels the machlokus between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Ikadiamri, alternatively, you could say no, that this Raisa is cooler for Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. It actually holds entirely with Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. And how would you read the Raisa? As follows. Hamotzi Shemra, if a man accuses his wife, Rachmana Lislan, falsely of committing adultery, Hamotzi Shemra, so loke benosemea sela. Then you have to go and get Malkus, and you pay the 100 sela fine. But that's Vuhu Shabal. That's only, the Tanakhama says, if they had relations. That's when both of these penalties come into play. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda Omer, Lilkos, loke mikom malkum. He says, the Malkus you get all the time, no matter what. So this is seemingly all the opinion of Rav Eleza ben Yaakov. Because, in fact, Rav Yehuda qualifies this first statement in the Braisa. It's not a Tanakhama versus Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda agrees. It's all one opinion, Rav Eleza ben Yaakov. And it says that if you did the act of Be'ila, so then you have both Malkus and you have the Sela. But if you didn't do the act of Be'ila, so then you only get Malkus and there is no fine of 100 Sela. More questions. This really? According to this, Rav Yehuda, who holds like Rav Eleza ben Yaakov, would say that if you didn't have relations with her, so then you still get Malkus. But that's not true. But Tanya, we learned in the following Braisa that Rav Yehuda disagrees with that. Rav Yehuda Omer, Baal Loke, Lo Baal Eino Loke. That Braisa says that you get Malkus only if you had lived with her. But if you didn't live with her, then you don't get Malkus either. Not only do you not pay 100 Sela, but you don't get Malkus at all. So how can you tell me that this is all Rav Eleza ben Yaakov? Rav Yehuda disagrees with Rav Eleza ben Yaakov. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he reconciles it as follows. He says, when we say in the first Braisa, Rav Yehuda says, Loke, we call Malkum, that's Malkus Mardus Midrabbanan. Loke, Malkus Mardus Midrabbanan. On a Doraisa level, you don't get Malkus unless you had Be'ila with her. But on a rabbinical level, the rabbis instituted that you should get a zetz, that you should get Malkus over here because of the horrible act that you did. So even though on a Doraisa level you wouldn't be Mechuyav, but on a Derabbanan level you get Malkus Mardus. So that's how you can reconcile the second opinion, that it's all Rav Eleza ben Yaakov, and it's all said within his shita. It's not a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda. Rav Papa gives a different answer. Rav Papa comes along and says that when Rav Yehuda says that under all circumstances you get Malkus, that's not what it means. My Baal Loke, what does it mean when it says that if you had Be'ila, so then you get Malkus if you accused her falsely? The Tani Hosmer says that over there. So he says it means Mamon. Baal Loke, Lo Baal, Lo Loke, it's talking about a monetary punishment. It doesn't talk about Malkus Mardus, because Rav Yehuda says if you had relations with her, you get Malkus. It means Mamon. You get to pay the 100 Sela penalty. Anymore says, really? But Korile le Mamon Malkus? What can it call Mamon Malkus? It's a very strange way to say it. The word says, yeah, in. That's true. Now, we have the Gears of Hotanan, but it's really a Bryce. It should be Vahot Tanya. As you see in the Mesos HaShas in Os Aleph, he says it should be Vahot Tanya. And what is the right Bryce? It says, Haomer Chatzi Erki Yolayef. A person says that I'm taking half of the value on me. When you say erki, that goes a certain evaluation that's based upon age and gender. The Torah says there are set amounts that are considered the erech of a person based upon their age and their gender. It doesn't have to do with what they're worth on the open slave market. That would be domi alai, his value on me. But if he says erki alai, the arochin of that person, so then if he says half of that person's erech alai, no simchatzi erko. The Tanakhama says that you then pay half of it. So let's say it was 50 shkolim, so you pay 25 shkolim. Rav Yosef Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yosef Yehuda omer, loke, the no sin erech sholem. You give him Malkus over here, and he pays the erech sholem. Now, why would he get Malkus? Loke amai. Why would he get Malkus for doing a nice thing by saying, I'm going to give this money to tzedaka? So Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa said, loke, the erech sholem. When it says loke, the nosin erech sholem, it means that the malkus that we're giving him over here is that we make him pay the full amount and not the half amount. And why does he pay the half amount? He only said chatzi erech yolai. So why does he pay the full amount? Loke of erech sholem means my time. What's the reasoning? Gezeira chatzi erko otu erech chetzio. We make over here a gezeira and say when he says chatzi erko, half of my evaluation, it's we make him pay the full evaluation, because if he said erech chetzio, the evaluation of half of me, so then he has to pay the full amount, because the erech chetzio havale eiver shenashamas luyabo, and eiver shenashamas luyabo means you have to pay the full amount. So if he says that I'm giving erech chetzi, I'm giving evaluation of half of me, then he has to pay the full amount. That's clear, because in a situation where he says erech chetzio, that is the equivalent of saying an Eivir Shanashavit Luyibo. He says, I'm giving the evaluation of my heart, so you can't live without a heart, so then you have to pay the full evaluation. We don't say, well, the heart is is the weight of 1/50th of the body, and therefore you'll only pay 1/50th. No, when you give something that the neshama is tluyabo, so then if you say erech chetzio, you have to pay the full amount. And therefore the rabbis made gzeira from erech chetzio. They said if you say chatzi erko, which could be then 25 shkolim, but they made gzeira that you have to pay the full amount. And here's where you see that loke means mammon. It says loke, the notes in erech shalim, it means that we punish him by making him give the erech shalim because of this gzeira. So therefore we do see that the term loke could be used for monetary. This was actually quite a tough shiur today. I hope it was said over clearly. A lot of confusing ideas and drashos, but it's a good place to stop, and this will conclude today's shiur.